Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.
Hello, welcome to episode 53 of the 5-Minute Major podcast, STL, brought to you by Across the Board Board Games. Go out to their website and get one today. We love them. We appreciate their support. And this is going to be one of those episodes that we seem to have five times a year where the Blues are just the most frustrating hockey team in the history of the NHL. We suck on 6-on-5. Toronto hates us up in the booth. We'll talk about it later.
just a dysfunctional team.
It's so dysfunctional. And we'll be going off eventually, but we'll start her off with how you doing? I guess I'll ask how you're doing.
Yeah, we're good. Not related
to hockey.
Personally, doing great. We're just thriving and surviving. It is nice and cold up north in Iowa right now. We had some freezing rain last night. And So we're rocking and rolling, and then up in our house in Canada it is snowing. So
awesome.
The winter is coming and I am pumped. I know a lot of people are like, you're crazy, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I love winter too, man. It's just the sign of like the best sports coming together at once. You know, basketball, college starting, hockey's in full force, football's going hard, college football's starting. Yeah. So
also, I see you got the Joe Fozzie's hat rocking there. I stopped by the deli when I was in town last weekend.
Yeah, what'd you get?
what did I get? It was the number one.
Oh yeah, it's always a good one.
Yeah, it's just
number one's. Number one's good. If you haven't, go check out Joe Fozzie. My uncle's back to work, and he's doing great.
Yeah.
For those that sent prayers or money or whatever to him, thank you. You guys are crazy for that, but thank you. He appreciates it, too. So, we were there yesterday. Erin came in from Potosi because her husband's bear hunting in Arkansas.
Heck yeah.
Which is awesome. she was hanging out, and she wanted a deli sandwich, so we went. It was good, as always.
I love it.
Okay, let's get... I wanted to just start around the NHL. It's been a while since we like actually talked about hockey. We had a couple interviews. Thank you guys for watching them and sharing them. Like Dale, if you're listening, dude, your little town hyped us up. Appreciate you guys a lot.
Your town has been so awesome, along with your junior team you played for. And then St. Cloud State was getting on the train. I was like, Dale is our pull for this year for the PWHL. Yeah. I'm pumped.
I think we're Sirens fans. Yeah, sorry, Coach Sirens. Barr.
Yeah, sorry, Coach Barr. I know I reached out. We want to get you back on, but man, the New York Sirens, we're number one right now with y'all.
McKenna, I think she just started doing the field hockey, right, for Ohio State. So
yeah, they lost. She fully committed, which we mentioned. The semifinals for the Big Ten championship to Iowa, 3-1.
Wow. Okay.
She did have the lone goal, though, I did see. So she's a dog.
All right. Let's get into NHL news. Just running real quick through some things. You know, the Blues aren't bad at home. The only team. The only team that are bad at home. The Rangers. 0-6-1. They lost 5-0 to their rival Islanders last night. Oh.
You know, I feel bad about our team, and then annoying. I think about some other teams, and I'm just like, maybe it's not as bad, but
we're only
bad.
4 points out, but they're like 7-7. They went on the road.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. They're 7-1-1 on the road. Yeah, right. They're 7-1-1 on the road, 0-6-1 at home. Like, what is happening in New York? It's so weird. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, and JT Miller he's not putting up points right now.
No, he looks frustrated, man.
Bro, he's got three goals and five assists right now in 16 games, and he's a minus three. Yeah, free JT great. Miller. Free JT Miller.
We'll take you.
We'll take him.
You know what? I watched some highlights, and I think they're getting their chances. They just can't finish, man. Sorokin played great as well for the Islanders, but like Mika's just missing the net and like stuff like that. Yeah, they just need to like kind of lock it in at home. Just wild. Like the wild kind of back and forth between road and home for them right now. It's just they're screwing
weird, weird season because you look at these standings and teams I did not picture being in the bottom half, like an Edmonton and a Minnesota and I figured Nashville would be there. The Kings are out of playoffs contention right now too. So like
Vancouver's stinking it up.
Yeah. Anaheim though, baby. Number one in Pacific.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we're about to get to them here in a sec. I just wanted to mention that the new wave is here, man. Celebrini, Bedard, Leo Carlson, all top five in points. I think Celebrini's tied for the lead in goals. Dude, these are like 18, 19-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids that are just playing harder than anybody else in the league. And that just goes to show about the coaching and the leadership on those teams. Like, they're taking leadership or they're accepting so much leadership from the retired players and those around the locker room and stuff. Like, that is so key to building a contender in the future. Those three teams right there, Sharks, Blackhawks, Ducks, are going to be unreal within the next 2 years, and the Ducks are already unreal. So
we said this early on, like we are the biggest fans of Macklin Celebrini. I think Macklin is still better in my opinion than Bedard.
He's playing better,
but Bedard is also taking his game to another level, and he's like, we're not going to take it anymore. And like, I mean, it's fun to see because the young players, like you said, are just taking it by a storm, and it's kind of the transition, it feels like, is happening finally. Where the young guys are taking over, but we'll still see. There's still a Nathan McKinnon, and there's still a McJesus. Oh, yeah. So I'm interested to see, but it's gonna be exciting for the next 10 plus years of NHL hockey.
I know. I'm really excited, especially for this Ducks team.
Oh, they're gonna holy! It's back to like your primetime Ducks team right now.
I know.
With this
young Corey Perry, young Getzy.
Yeah,
old Solani, like those teams, you know.
It's that vibe is coming back with a great coach in Quenneville up there.
I know. I don't care what anybody says, man. Him being behind the bench is such a difference maker. Players coach. He's only got like a couple hard-nosed rules that he really gets you on. And other than that, he basically just lets you go out there and play. Like,
And he'll out-coach
such
you.
A difference maker. Thing.
He can out-coach another coach. He can out-coach a better team, per se, with players with just technique. So.
Oh, yeah, that's such a big part of it that people don't realize. And before we get to the next point, like, it kind of is similar. Like, Erik Karlsson just came out and said, like, his success and the Penguins' success is based on the coaching staff. Dan Muse and those guys coming in, the whole new coaching staff, they're like, that message they're sending to our players, even though we're vets, like, it's changing us again. Like, we want to win, and they're winning. So, like, I don't know, man. It's just... People always see a coaching firing and they're like, oh my God, why? And then a new coach comes in that no one knows about, and either they win a Stanley Cup or they just go on crazy runs, and sometimes that's all you need. Crazy.
Patty Kane has returned to the Red Wings, and a team that has played better this year. The eyes are finally working. And they're just getting much needed reinforcements with Patty Kane. He just brings this level of skill, leadership, and he's a dynamic forward. I don't care what you say. Yes, he's getting older and he's not the same player of the past, but Patrick Kane just elevates everyone around him.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this Detroit team, and I'm just happy to see Dylan Larkin happy. Like, it's just a good thing to see. Also, Spitting Chicklets talked about this. They would love to see Patrick Kane playing for USA in the Olympics. I agree. I would love to see one more ride of Patrick Kane in the Olympics wearing the red, white, and blue.
I agree 100%. Yeah, Larkin has 18 points right now. DeBrincat has 15. And then you got Raymond at 12. And then they got the seventh rounder, Emmett Finney. Top 4 in points.
Bro, he is Tank.
Yeah, he's a gamer. 6'1", 195, 20 years old. Playing his heart out there. And then let's not forget that Swedish back end, bro, and the German Mortsider like that.
Sandy Pekalikin.
Yeah, dude. Those guys are smooth skating, smart players. Those Swedish puck demon movers, are good, dude. Man.
They are puck moving beasts at that transition play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like Broberg, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great players. Okay. Hall of Fame inductions just happened, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara, Joe Thornton, Duncan Keith, and Alexander McGillney all make it from the NHL. And then I think it was Brianna Decker. And a couple others that I did not recognize. But congrats to them.
Yep.
Congrats to them. Joe Thornton, one of the better forwards like to ever play. Unfortunately, never won a Stanley Cup. Chara, everyone knows Chara. He's a freaking tank. And then Duncan Keith is underrated, for sure. Underrated. People didn't realize how amazing he was.
I was going to say that. Like, we hated him so much being Blues fans. And he had his incident where he said wakey-wakey about David Backes. In that playoff series, it was a cheap shot. You're a douche. But gosh, was
that's
he
just
so,
the game, though.
He was so good.
Yeah. He was so good.
That era of defense had so many, like Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Dustin Byfuglien.
Johnny Oduya.
Johnny Oduya. Yeah. That Chicago team just had a whole other level of decor. And that's when I would say that was when the Blues had one of the best decors in their time frame too.
Yeah.
That
rivalry just I can't wait for it to be reignited, you know? Like,
yeah, the sad part right now, I feel like Chicago is the one getting it better and we're just kind of stagnant.
Yeah, I'm telling you, before we started recording, like, they just have nothing to lose. They're just out there to play and have a good time and form an identity, and the Blues feel like they have everything to lose right now. So,
yeah.
That's what happens mentally with the pressure. But congrats to those Hall of Fame inductions. Yeah. And then I just made a little list of the hottest team versus the coldest teams right now before we get into literally the coldest team, the St. Louis Blues. Boston has won 6 straight games in their second in the Atlantic. Holy smoke. So what a turnaround. You know what? I was hearing like Grinnell talk about them because obviously he's a big Bruins fan. He was basically saying they were losing such close games, barely losing games to start the year, and now they're kind of barely winning games or winning games. And they're doing it without Lindholm, McAvoy, Mittelstadt, who just got hurt the other day. I don't know, man. Big Z looks so good.
Morgan Geeky looks good.
My gosh. What a steal. Awesome. What a steal to keep him. I thought he was going to be gone.
Swayman, baby.
Proud of Swayman. For sure, proud of him. Even though he hasn't been that great.
Yeah, but he's keeping him in competitive games.
Yeah, timely saves sometimes are better than the numbers on the page.
Yeah, I think it all goes to Big Z just saying, hop on my back, boys. I'll punch him in the throat and we'll win this game.
It's so good. Dude, Big Z was a first-round pick in 2013 to Buffalo.
Poor guy.
Mittelstadt, first-round pick to Buffalo.
Buffalo.
I mean, how awful is Buffalo at dealing with their prospect, man? The worst.
Yeah, seriously.
Good for Boston, though. Keep rolling. Don't like it, but keep rolling. And then, of course, the Anaheim Ducks we mentioned before, dude. 6 wins in a row for them, too. Didn't they just beat Vegas? Beat the brakes off Vegas.
Kreider, man.
What the hell? Underrated pickups, man. Underrated pickups. Verbeek, you know how he is as a player. He's the same way as a GM. He's going to get the identity guys. He brought in Granlund. Gudas.
Can we talk about Chris Kreider, who's played 10 games because he had some hand, foot, mouth disease?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. that sucks for you, dude. Yeah. But 10 games played, he has 9 goals and 1 assist.
Yeah.
And is a +3.
Yeah.
He is a point per game player in 10 games. The man is 34. And I don't care if he makes all of his freaking goals on the power play. I would die for a guy who could just score on the freaking power play.
Yeah, because it's not just that. He goes to the front of the net, and he like parks his butt there. Like, that's a game changer there.
Yeah, but everyone that said he was done, the guy is still putting up crazy goals.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, it's not his 52-goal season, but he's going to probably put up 25 or more this year.
See, and that's the difference between the Ducks and other teams, is they just have so much identity from, like, old guys and young guys feeding off it. So Kreider has 10 points in 10 games. Trouba has 10 points. And he's like a plus. Look at his stats. He's like a plus something. He's a plus 16 in 14 games. So good for Trouba. Unreal start for him. Dostal's been a dog. Stealing games, but not really needing to. And then Leo Carlson. Top 5 player in the league right now. 23 points. I mean, what is happening? Yeah. Troy Terry is sneaky, 18 points. Cutter Gauthier has 11 tucks.
Mason McTavish still has 10 points, thank you very much. And I know the guy that roasted me on TikTok about it, he is still a key player to your freaking team, okay, man?
Oh, he's a gamer. He's a game changer.
3 goals, 7 assists. I get he doesn't have the goals, but he's got 10 points in 14 games.
But he's never been that.
No.
And then this Beckett Seneca kid. Good for you, baby. 9 points for you to start the year.
Yeah.
God, drafted last year. He had that reaction when he got drafted 3rd overall. He was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
With his mom. I loved it. And he's coming out and he's gaming, man. So good for this team. Bunch of young players and then a bunch of wily vets just leading the charge, man.
Such
a well built team. It just really is. Yeah.
You know who we didn't talk about in our pre, like, who would I love to have on this team? Troy Terry, man.
Oh, yeah. No, we've talked about before we recorded today, you mean?
Yeah. He's from Denver, Colorado. So he played for Colorado, I'm pretty sure. I think he played for Jim Montgomery.
Denver, you mean?
At Denver. I think he played at Denver.
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, he's one of the most underrated players.
Fifth round pick.
He's a 50-point guy, and he can eat up 18 to 19 minutes a night on the forward group. Per game player right now. God, and he's only 28. I mean, just what a great player.
It's frustrating because we just don't have these guys. We don't have those guys.
I think we do. I just don't think they. We'll get into it in a sec. Yeah. Let's go through the.
I'll run the through other the teams that teams, sucked. Right. Yeah.
Start with the bottom and then end with us.
All right. The Nashville Predators are 3-5-2 in their last 10, and freaking Ryan O'Reilly is just self imploding right now. He sounds as bad right now as he did when he was like in Buffalo, and he's like, I just don't like playing hockey anymore. And then he ran through a Tim Horton.
I know.
So,
so bad for him.
I you know, that's going to be a team that I think is going to be open season on trades.
I've
heard rumors that they're going to ask Philip Forsberg to waive his no trade. I think they're about to tear it down because they don't have young guys. Their prospects seem depleted. It took you forever to even get Evangelista signed. The Stamkos experiment right now is not working. And I think he's going to be gone if they can find someone. They're going to have to eat salary. Marshall Schultz, I also think, will find a way to be gone. I think Ryan O'Reilly will be traded as well.
Yeah, they have to get rid of those brutal contracts. They just have to.
And you got Brady Shea you're paying how much to?
God. Hey, you like him.
I love
Brady Shea. You liked it at the time.
I love Brady Shea, but I like this team is...
I don't know what it is. It's just in the same situation problem.
Where it's a bunch of old players. They got a bunch of old guys, but it's... I don't know. And I think all of them have trade protection.
Probably. I mean, Nashville's just one of those markets where you kind of have to do that to keep players, you know,
they
like
have
good players.
A little over... $7 million in cap space.
Yeah, if they get rid of those 3 old
also,
guys, then you'll have a crap load.
Roman Josi, he's week to week. They're loaded on draft picks, though, this year. They're going in with a first, 2 seconds, a third, 2 fourths, 3 fifths.
Okay. Okay, so Trotz can draft, maybe.
He can draft, or he's going to have to put picks with players to get people to take their contract. Oh, yeah, wow. They don't have cap protect. So Stamkos has a no movement clause.
Okay.
Marcia Schultz has a no movement clause, but he's signed for 4 more years, including this year. Stammer has 3 years, including this year. O'Reilly just has this year and next year.
Yeah.
You got Bunting Zine. You have Eric Hall. Oh my gosh, they're about to be like everyone's going to be a free agent. Brady Shea, baby. 15 team, no modified or modified trade. He's 31. He's got 5 years, including this year.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what? Looking, I mean, hindsight's 2020, right?
Yeah.
But like, what the hell was Trotz thinking?
Yeah,
what the hell? I have no words added. That makes me feel good.
Also,
that makes me feel way better.
UC Soros is signed at like $7.74 million until 2033, too. And he's 30 years old right now.
Well, I've just been seeing some things that Edmonton's in on him.
Yeah. Also,
which honestly would be a decent pickup for him. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's why he's calling me. Also, can we take a moment to say that they're still paying Matt Duchene money?
Are they still paying Suter? Is he fully done now?
No, he's done. They're paying Matt Duchene $6.56 million this year, and then they're paying him $1.56 million, 26 to 28, 29. And you know who else they're paying right now? Kyle Turris, baby.
No. That guy. Yeah. What could have been, right? He's one of those what could have been guys.
They have retained money on Colton Sissons and Matthias Ekholm.
God.
Well, they're only 250K on Matthias Ekholm.
Why did Trotz do any of what he's doing now with that also on top of it? He should have just been like, all right, we're just going to suck, guys. Sorry. He should have just been like, we're playing prospects and that's it. Like, well, Soros, try your best to save everything.
This is why, because you're paying Yosti $9 million, Brady Shea $7 million, and Nicholas Hag $5.5 million, and then Kerbix is $2.7 million, Justin Barron $1.15 million, and then the rest of your D is $825 million, $775 million, $775 million. Your offense, you got $950 million, $925 million, $775 million.
Just a bunch of kids and like 4 vets that are getting overpaid. Oh man, Nashville. Hey, you know what? You're staying afloat though. Low key, you're about where we are. You're only 4 points out. You're only 4 points out. Everything's 4 fine. 4 points out.
It's fine. And then jumping to the next coldest team.
Yes.
The Calgary Flames are 3-5-2 in their last 10, which is the same as your Nashville Predators. They are the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know there. That's
I have no words for them. We knew they were going to stink. Last year was a fluke for them being close, for sure.
Well, yeah, even the general manager was surprised, so then he was like, I guess I got to add to this team.
Yeah, but then, like, when you're thinking that way, like, I don't know, he's just not anticipating anything as a GM, and now he's kind of stuck again. Like,
yeah,
they do have, it feels like the Blues there, too, where they have some guys, some vets that have been there forever that can play, but just aren't producing right now. And then you have your young guys that are still trying to kind of figure it out. But you do have Dustin Wolf. And he stole games last year, but he's not this year, man.
And they just paid him, man. They just.
Which is fine. I think they should have. I think he's worthy of the contract. It's just not good for them right now. Who do you think's getting traded out of Calgary?
Nazem Kadri, Blake Coleman, Rasmus Anderson. Those are probably the three.
Yeah.
If they can find someone that wants to take on Huberdeau's contract, probably Huberdeau.
Yes. And I do think Huberdeau is a great asset to try and pick up for a team. I mean, Florida, screw it. I think Florida should be in on anybody at the deadline. If they're close to getting in.
They're going to call the Blues, dude.
We'll give them in it, whatever they want. Okay.
Falk, Shen is a Florida Panther.
Falk would be huge for a Florida team.
Yeah.
Calgary will be selling. They should. They should. If they don't, I'm really, really concerned about them up there.
No one's taking Huberto, man.
What is he at? 10.5?
10.5. Till 2031.
That's really not that much, though. For a first-line wing?
But on these contending teams?
I mean, when Barkov's money is off the table.
That's true. Nazem Kadri also making $7 million.
That's cheap for Kadri.
He's got a 13-team no-trade clause. Want to bet the Blues are on that no-trade.
100%. The Blues are on that. Who else is on that? Toronto?
Yeah, everyone that's
probably not
flawed him.
Yeah, for sure the Blues, because he would get like he would get some hate, man. Knowing idiot Blues fans.
Yeah, so honestly, looking at this Calgary team, you got to figure Blake Coleman's getting moved. I feel like Backlund probably, if they can find someone to take him.
They just re-signed him though.
Yeah, but
he's the cat, man. He's been there forever. I don't think he wants to go.
That's true. Mackenzie Weegar, he's there. He's 31. He's making 6.25. You got Kevin
That's
Ball.
That's a steal.
Rasmus steal. Anderson is 29 years old, making 4.55 with a 6-team no trade list. He's gone.
He needs to be traded, and then it's going to be a sign and trade with somebody. It just depends who. I mean, does Vegas have the money? I mean, Petro's gone. Stone should be traded. Because his contract's brutal, but he's still producing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's still producing.
Yeah.
That's the hard part with Vegas.
Projected cap right now is minus $11 million in Vegas.
Well, yeah, so maybe he's not a Golden Knight. Maybe he's a Florida Panther. Man. Yeah, Anderson's definitely like the perfect right-handed defenseman deadline pickup for a contender. He just is. Him and Falk. They just are. Calgary, shout out to you, man. Shout out to you. We feel it for you. And we hope you guys can pick it up, you know?
Yeah. All right, wrapping it up with the Blues, who are also one of the coldest teams in the NHL. With
probably the.
Probably the right now. 2-6-2 in their last 10. We have yet to win a home game in the New Jerseys.
They look great.
The wins have come in last year's jerseys. We beat Dallas wearing last year's home jersey, and we beat Edmonton with last year's home jersey.
At home.
But we have been whooped on national television multiple times. Chicago, weird. Annihilated. And then Washington. Annihilated. So, we can just jump into the Blues talk.
Yeah, I'll go through the rundown of what's happened so far. Yeah. We've let in 5 goals or more in 4 straight, and that was Let me backtrack. So the start of the season was, you know, your typical 5-0 loss to Minnesota. We know that. We've talked
every
about
year.
That.
Every year.
And then before the last time we talked, we were predicting the Kings game, which is a while ago. And we were like, oh, you know, maybe a win or whatever. You know, we're playing all right. We lost an OT in that game. And I don't know what happened, but that just destroyed us. We let in 5 goals or more in 4 straight after that OTL. Just stinky to end the month. And then between the 30th of October and the 3rd of November this month, we went 1-1-1. We're like, okay, you know, trying to figure it out. Good win or tough loss against Vancouver, real tough loss against the Blue Jackets, but a great win against Edmonton.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we just beat McDavid and Draisaitl. We're the only team like ever to not have both of them take a shot on net. In the history of them playing the game. And then we go to DC and we just implode again. I don't have any other word for it. 6-1 loss to a struggling Capitals team. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Then after that, Monty realized we needed to make a change. And Josh will be right back. He sat Jordan Kyrou, sat Oscar Sundquist before the road trip to Buffalo. Obviously, Armstrong's done firing coaches. He said that. It's time for the players to take accountability. And so Monty sits Kyrou. Kyrou was like okay with it or whatever, and that sparked all this conversation about does he really want to be on this team? He's been your best forward. Anyway, we come out. Hofer stole the game. Our offense was still not great, but our bottom six was better. Top six was not great. 3-0. It's like, oh, great win in Buffalo, even though Buffalo's not great either. But those are the teams you need to beat. And then last night happens. Start out hot, 2-0 against Seattle. At home, in the New Jerseys. Or was it? Was it New Jersey? I think it was. And then the second period happens, and you're on your heels. You're in your own zone for most of the period. You let in two goals for them to tie it to go into third. That just can't happen. I think we are the worst team in the second period right now. We've let in 25 goals in the second to start the year, which is brutal. You go into the third. We actually had a little bit of life. Kyrou scored. Kyrou had a great game. Had a fantastic game. Him and Holloway had a great game. Broberg had a great game. I don't know what happened with everybody else, to be honest. And then we proceed to get screwed, in my opinion, by Toronto and the referees saying that it was a judgment call, even though in black and white it tells you the rules of what a goalie interference is. And Eberle interfered with our goalie in the crease. That's just, it's black and white. It's in the rule book, but I guess it was a judgment call. They tied it with 2 seconds left. We go in the OT, never touch the puck once, and we lose. Those are the games you just can't lose. Those are the games you have to pull out a win to get the extra points, especially right now when you're 4 points out of a wild card early in the season. You can start clicking early to try and turn this ship around. And instead, you kind of implode in the second period. You take the lead back, and then I understand that it was a crappy call on Toronto's part and the referee's part, but you still can't let it get close to going in. You miss four empty netters by this much.
Yeah.
You have to put it in the net. Hofer was closer than any of the players to scoring.
I will say, I never understand why our guys, with 30 seconds left, why they just don't eat it in the corner.
I think Parayko's good at doing that, but I do think the forwards haven't been told that that makes the most sense to sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to try your best to hold it on the boards and be a loser and win that way. You just have to be an asshole sometimes and hold the puck in the corner.
But we've seen this multiple games where we struggle to get the puck out of our zone.
I just think it's an effort level thing. You can't tell me a professional hockey player can't just backhand sauce it out of the zone or forehand sauce it out of the zone or just ice it. I don't care at that
point. Rim it around the boards. Just get it up on the glass.
Just slap it out. Just, dive at it. That type of stuff. If you're not moving your feet, not moving your feet is almost the sole reason for so many of these things that happen. And I have said that before. It's you have to be skating. If you're not skating, you're in quicksand. And if you're in quicksand, you're getting dangled and scored on. It's that simple. It's just a tough, just another tough loss in OT. We did the same thing against Vancouver. We should beat them.
That's two more points that you're just missing out on right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're 0-3 in overtime in total. So we could have 3 extra points, which means we'd be in a wild card spot right now. That we would feel better about. Colorado has the most points in the NHL, and they're 9-1-5. It's because they somehow either push it to overtime or they've just lost in overtime, but now they're winning.
This team is dysfunctional.
It really is.
And I want to say we're a better team than what we're doing. And I know the analytics are saying we're just missing on a couple. Like, I'm sorry, the excuse of the puck luck, which there was crazy bounces early in the year. And then your goalies.
I still don't think that has anything to do with losing 8-4.
No, and your goalies imploding after having a good preseason where it was like, holy crap, they are on it. And then they come into the season and it's like they forgot how to play hockey.
Yeah, and it's mental. I mean, yeah. There's no other way to say it. You can't tell me these guys aren't conditioned.
Yeah.
It's just an effort level and a mental thing.
The other thing, too, and like for all those people out there saying, well, they're going to get another coach fired. No. Jim Montgomery is not getting fired. Like, he's not anywhere. He'll be hired in a week.
He did something insane. Well, and Army was like, you have to go.
The other thing is, like, he would be picked up by another team if they let him go. So, it's not a coach problem. It's right now, I think it's a core players that have been picked problem.
I think so too.
And with that, I don't know. Like, unless
it's hard to comprehend, it really is when you're getting paid that much money and the city loves you. Like, don't you just want to be there and win for them? Like, don't you want to etch your name in history? Don't you want to be some of the best to ever wear that jersey?
And that's the thing. They want to win games, but it's just they're not laying their – like, it's not the team that is willing to do whatever it takes to win right now, it feels like.
Yeah, I do agree. They've been better the past few, but it's still not good enough for sure.
Yeah.
It's not a cohesive effort. It feels like, you know, your Matthew Joseph, your Torpchenko, your Brobergs are all out right now. And then, like, your Bush is nowhere to be found. Your Thomas is a little streaky right now, and he's dramatic. And then your Kyrou just needs a smack in the butt to get going. So it's kind of like, that's the dysfunction, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked a lot of trades before we started this podcast. Yeah. And I think you at least agree to a certain extent that if you do it now, you have to just deal everybody. Like, you can't only trade the people that you're allowed to because they don't have a no trade clause. Like, and that is the captain of the team. It's just, if you're doing that, like you said, it's an O'Reilly situation where everyone's gone. Your core is gone.
Yeah. You're tearing your core down into nothing. Yeah.
So it's tough.
It's tough.
But people, I was, you know, as a dramatic hockey fan, as we all are, I was like, oh yeah, let's get him out. Like, just I'll trade Kyrou for a bag of pucks. Like, I was a Falk hater for a while. And like, now I'm just like, I don't know what happened to me. Maybe it's the fact that I have a loving girlfriend and she drowns me. But, I just think waiting and feeling it out is the best play right now, as much as it sucks to say, you know, because you want the quick fix, but quick fix isn't quick when it's been 5 years of trying to do that with Doug.
Yeah, I honestly, we have defended Doug so much, and I still think
that's the person that I'm done defending.
Yeah, we talked about this, that like, yes, he's
I'll
a great
GM. I'll
defend
the players, but I won't defend him anymore.
And I get what he was saying, because you saw glimpses of just superstars coming. But
They can be. We know that.
But I think they're followers. We don't have the leader. And it's not to say Braden Chen isn't a leader. Braden Chen is the heart and soul of this team.
He's the best captain in the league.
We are talking about the leadership core right now. Is, and maybe I'm wrong and someone may say I'm an idiot, but I don't think we have vocal leaders in our locker room, and you need different types of leaders. And we talked about this with Dale. She was more of a sit back and kind of be a quiet leader. And you need those leaders.
Yeah. Do it with your play than with your, instead of your voice. Yeah.
But you also need a leader that in practice is going to get into a fight with another teammate because, like, I'm tired of losing.
Yep.
Zach Sanford. Like, the fight
effort level wasn't there. Bortuzzo said, "I'm sick of you, bro."
Yeah.
Fought his ass.
Yeah.
And that was the wake-up call.
And that was a wake-up call. But, like, you don't have anyone on this team that I think they're going to get mad enough to want to fight each other in practice.
I just think, you know what? And we talked about this too. That's the new era of people. It's just humans.
But
hockey has changed. You know,
you need the hybrid of it. You need both.
Well, Jake Neighbors is our
also. Both, yeah, not having Jake Neighbors. Not,
sorry.
No, I was gonna say not having Jake Neighbors is one of the keys right now.
Oh yeah, 100%. Your effort level depletes so much in the top six without him. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, he's so important, and he scores goals in front of the net. But like I was saying, like him, he'll fight other teams, but he won't fight a player on his team. He's just too nice, you know. But he is that guy in the locker room. Like he's just the old time hockey player that talks and like holds himself and others accountable. Like,
well, would you like to hear the game breaking news per Jeremy Rutherford right now at practice?
Oh, can't wait! Yeah,
they're doing
live on the air.
They're doing a bag skate right now. They are
first one of the season, Monty. Or
yeah, they are bag skating them, boys.
Let's go!
And
been tweeting that out since day one.
I would not want to be at that practice right now because
I would love to be.
The other thing that's ramping up. Is that apparently Monty is beginning more vocal at practice. He is not a crazy vocal coach at yelling.
No.
But he's going Herb Brooks on him right now. And I love it.
They need it.
They need it. It's what Todd McClellan did with Detroit. Was that last year?
Yeah, he basically showed up and was like, yeah, it's not going to be this way anymore.
Yeah.
We've had the vets are here and they still haven't done it. It's about time they've done it, basically.
That's the other thing. I think, and did you touch on the Kyrou sitting?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
I mentioned a little bit of it. I was like, he kind of was just meh about the situation. He was like, okay, I'll do it. Like, he wasn't, but then I was like, oh, he raised the question. Does he actually want to be here?
Yeah, and I wonder if anyone's sitting against Calgary.
It should be.
I think it's Bucci's turn now.
It has to be.
You got
to
sit Bucci. And I know he's just playing defensive hockey, but like,
I don't give a rat's ass.
He is not a true bumper in that middle spot to me. He's not a good like middle front presence in the power play.
I just don't understand.
This is where I love Steve Ott, but Steve Ott's power play structure right now is not working for this team. The only thing I will say is Devo will just shoot.
I know. Him and Snuggy love to shoot, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
But why isn't Thomas shooting? Why isn't Bush wrapping it in the net? And why isn't Pareko taking clappers more often? And why isn't Fowler, you know, shooting for a tip all the time? It's Broberg, 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 Broberg.
Yeah.
Falk. Like, where are the others? Step it up.
Yeah.
Like, starting to kind of lose it right now talking about this. But it's frustrating. And I'm sure you people listening understand that it's frustrating. Like, this is St. Louis. It is blue collar. People want the work boots. We've said it a million times. Even in baseball, we just want the work boots. We want the effort. I don't care if you stink. You could be with a record right now as long as you put the effort in. I'm like, okay, we tried.
Yeah. Well, and that's
8-4, 6-1. No. No. Bad. That's bad. It's a frustrating situation.
Other good news, per Jeremy Rutherford coming live to you on our podcast.
Live.
Jake Neighbors is in full gear sitting on Blues bench ready to skate after the team practice today.
Getting back.
Thank the Lord.
All right, so Tex is waived.
Also, did Lucic also did, I mean, he's a -3. They got just curb stomped down in Springfield.
That team is just brutal now,
too. Bad, dude. They're bad. But like, they brought up Will Cranley from ECHL playing the game. They're running three goalies right now.
The Springfield fans that I saw on Twitter were saying that he did not look good.
Luke. Yeah.
I mean, when you're old and slow, it is what it is, man. He hadn't played in a year and a half.
I love his just demeanor, and I want him to be able to do this.
Yeah,
but
keep
the
trying.
Cards are just stacked against the poor man.
Oh yeah, people hate him. It's people hate him, and he's playing in a young man's game right now. He needs to be faster. Like that's the difference. Well, Revo's hasn't stopped playing, but Revo changed how he conditions to play.
Yeah.
He's faster, he's skinnier, he's a little more limber and can move, you know, he's not just a brute, so.
Yeah.
He evolved.
Right. Yeah. You take the next one, and then I'll do a little update on our prospects, and then we'll just run through some questions about all this right. team, yeah. and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, we have 2-day break until we play Calgary on Tuesday, which would be tomorrow for you guys. Gotta win? Have to. Yeah. You have to blow them out. 5-0. You have to. It's the worst team in the league.
Is Bennington start?
Cannot be the worst team in the league. You have to.
I think Calgary starts. Or Hofer starts. I think they play Hofer again.
You think Hofer's in?
I think so because I think Bennington's gassed.
I think Benny's just coasting until Canada.
I don't know that. That's my question down low. I have some question marks if he's still the guy right now for Canada.
Okay, we'll get into that, but. Whoever's starting, it doesn't matter. They need to show up.
Yeah.
You have to win against Calgary. And then more news. Logan Mailloux got sent to Springfield, which I love. He gets to play. Just let him play and score and whatever. And then Hunter Skinner gets called, which I love.
You should play him. If he is coming up, he needs to play.
Yeah, him and Kessel should be battling for tomorrow for Tuesday's starting spot right now in practice.
100%. Honestly, maybe we're going to see a defenseman set.
Do you think Tucker maybe gets a sit?
No.
Fowler?
Yeah.
That would be, that would send another message. He's been not great. But neither is Parayko. Imagine sitting Parayko.
Maybe it's Parayko. Anything's
a maybe at this point.
I think you're going to see one or two more core players set.
It needs to be Bush until he stops being an absolute liability. I just sit him the rest of the year. I don't even care. So much I hate it right now.
I think it's going to be Bush and Sonny's still sitting. Sonny's not touching this lineup for a while, in my opinion.
Okay. Whatever you say. I think Skinner does deserve the chance to play, though. He'll lay some hits. Now to you to talk about the farm system.
Yeah, so let's bring some light to this team right now. Justin Carboneau, the guy that we are praying to be the savior at some point, in 15 games, he has 17 goals and 4 assists down to the queue. He's a man amongst boys right now. Dynamic, stealing pucks, getting to the dirty areas. Hopefully I can get to watching some more of the games. I got Flow Hockey, so I can try to start bringing a little more insight on some of these. Adam Yurchik. I've watched a couple of his games. I think his game's improving. He is getting better. He's healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy all year. He's got 15 games played. He has 5 goals and 11 assists. And then jumping down to our Swedish boys down in Springfield, which let me preface this first. Springfield has been awful. Maybe it really was Colton Ellis that was the glue to that team last year down there. We saw a trade where Callie Rosen was brought back into the Blues organization for Corey Schumann. Apparently, Schumann was just plain awful down there, and they needed a change, so they brought back Callie Rosen, 31 years old, that he apparently has only played in like 8 NHL games since he left the Blues. So for all of those who are waiting for a trade, I think it's just to bring some leadership down there. But Otto Stenberg has a goal and 3 assists in 11 games. Theo Lindstein has a goal and 3 assists in 11 games. They're still young into the AHL. The AHL is brutal. We talked about this with multiple of our guests that the AHL is brutal on your body because it's guys trying to make it. It's guys that like, I got kids that I'm trying to feed at home. So like, it's brutal. It's a bloodbath every night. We did see Lucic play down there, and they got curb stomped those 2 games. So I think Lucic is still going to be down there for probably another 5 to 10 games before we see him. But Jakob Stausel, he's out hurt with an injury. I'm pretty sure he's day-to-day. Quentin Burns is playing down in the ECHL currently. Zarenko is okay for us right now in Springfield. He hasn't played all that great. They did bring up Will Cranley from the Florida Everblades. Johansson, the defenseman, I like him. He's a good puck-moving guy. The guy that I really would like to see the Blues bring up, I know he's not flashy, he's not scoring goals, is Dylan Pettersson. I think he would bring another level to your bottom six, and I think he's a skater, man, and he's a work boot mentality kind of guy, and I would love to see a Dylan Pettersson with the Torpchenko, because I think they would just skate around and hit the crap out of everyone, and then he might surprise us with some offensive upside.
Yeah, good analysis, bud. I don't know. There are some, you know, some highs and some even some lows for the prospects. So yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm not happy with the Stenberg and the Lindstein lines right now. They haven't been good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. Stenberg's played up and down that lineup. I think he's on the third line. Hmm. So they're playing Luchik on the second line with Nikita Alexandrov. So he's getting.
Luch just needs to get his feet moving. Like, he can't be playing that much.
I think they're going to play him. They're going to play him.
Wow.
I mean, he was playing power play. Yeah.
Let's go, Luch.
Yeah.
You know, people don't lie. I love him. I
love him too.
He's just the perfect locker room guy.
Like, yeah.
He is that guy to come in and start talking.
Like Kevin Hayes apparently was also a really vocal locker room guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's good for Philly. Pitt, sorry.
Yeah, he's just a locker room guy. And I think Revo is the same way. There's videos of Revo with doing warm-up soccer, and Revo's the most vocal with all of them.
Oh, yeah.
You need the glue. And right now, I don't feel like we have the glue.
I agree. I think the glue officially left like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think Bertuzzo was a glue guy.
He's around, though. Like, why isn't he down there? Why isn't he?
But I think it's hard, though, as being that coach and the player. Or a consultant.
But he's not really, like, a coach.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. To me, that's all weird. I think that dynamic needs to be fixed, too. I mean, we don't know anything, though, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying we're in the locker room, so there's probably other stuff going on. And we did hear that the Mayu, you had different alumni talking. Big Al. You had Al sitting there during periods while he was up in the box and talking about things. And I think it's a mental thing for him, too. I don't want to write him off as a bad player yet. It takes time as a defenseman. I also think he came in with the cards a bad hand because it was Bolduc and everyone saying he's the next coming of Jesus, but I'm sorry, like, Bolduc has cooled off. He's got 4 goals and 2 assists, and those 4 goals came in that first week.
Yeah. He's a 20 goal player, but I think the issue with people being so nearsighted about that type of stuff is the reason they truly hate, like, the Armstrong deals and stuff. Like,
but also
you can be mad about some things, like, sure, like, no one would be even batting an eye if we weren't losing like the way we were.
Yeah,
if we were winning hockey games, everyone would be like, oh yeah, Mayu's been fine.
But they also sold him as the guy that was going to be able to make this giant jump to the NHL. Yeah,
so I understand that
disservice to him because he had played 9 total games, I think, before he got to us in the NHL.
Yeah, I think people misinterpreted Armstrong in that. I think he was saying that he will be.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you put him in the lineup, be like, honestly, here we go.
They probably should have started him in Springfield. They probably should have kept Skinner.
Yeah.
And they should have started him in Springfield. Just so he could have got his feet wet, got going well. And I know the last minute major or the last minute podcast, the Blues main one.
Yeah, Last Minute Blues pod, yeah.
Yeah, they talked about this and, like, cool, he can go to the AHL, he can dominate, but it doesn't really matter. I was like, I think he has to go down there for his mental well-being to, like, figure out that he's still a good hockey player, because right now I think he's just done. And, like, he's not even playing a physical game.
I know. Well, I mean, you see it glimpses, but I think he's trying to make. He doesn't realize how simple it is sometimes. Like, I think he was trying to do too much, you know, like yeah. When you're trying to be physical in situations that you don't need it, then the opposite, that's where you make mistakes. And like the hand pass play or whatever against Washington where he dove and touched it and it would have been a hand pass. Maybe he didn't know, you know, maybe he didn't see it. So it's just those little things, like maybe whoever he was playing with wasn't vocalizing it. Like, oh no, you know, like, could be those small things.
And so, that's why maybe the glue guy last year was Ryan Suter. We've talked about this.
You love Suter. I love him too, but he just wasn't going to play, you know.
That's the thing. I loved Ryan Suter. I wish we would have had Ryan Suter like 10 years before and he would, like, they tried to get him apparently multiple times. But I think he had a way about him. And how he was just like, no, we're not doing that. We're doing it this way. And Tucker was like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. And Tucker looked like a better player for it.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
There's a lot to be addressed here. And we can kind of jump into our first question of where is Booch?
No, you didn't say it right.
Well,
I'll bleep it out.
Where the f*** is Booch? Because...
He's brutal.
He's playing a defensive game. I get it. And I get you need those guys, but we're playing a defensive forward $8 million and he's contributing zilch on the offensive side of the puck.
He's got 5 probably secondary assists and 2 goals, and he's a -9 through 16 games, and he plays 18 minutes a night. 7% shot percentage, like. Ugh. 17 giveaways already this year. Holy smokes, Boosh. Like, come on, brother, man. I just don't, like, what happened? Last year you were bad at the beginning and then you picked it up. You know?
He's here till 2031 with a no trade clause.
That's on Armstrong. That right there is on Armstrong.
Yeah.
Should have given him like a 3x5, you know, like just give him something a little like.
Or you should have just traded him. You thought he was worth like 2 first round picks. No, he was not.
Yeah, I bet you a lot of GMs laughed at him for that one. I mean, I would have accepted. I'm trying to think back of what was available. You know what I mean? I mean, I would have taken like a second rounder and a prospect for him.
Yeah.
I would have taken like. A second round pick and a vet, you know, like a, well, not a Reeves, but like a, you know.
Like a Lomberg from vet. Calgary.
Yeah. A Yanni Gord.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
we're talking middle six, bottom six contributors. And then you could have taken that money and put it elsewhere.
But the thing is, like, he's still. Has had his best years with us.
Like 4 years ago.
No. 76 points, 67 points, 63 points, and then 57 points last year, but he did pick it up after starting horrendously. So it's like, okay, maybe he just needs that little bit of time.
We're the team of streaky players.
Hey, we had that a little bit when we won. You know, Schwartzy was pretty damn streaky.
Yeah, but I'd still take Jaden Schwartz on this team in a heartbeat.
You never thought about how he was effort.
No, because his effort was like, I'll run through a brick wall repeatedly. There's no one on this team that I feel that way right now about.
And this is, I think this is another situation where maybe his play style does not fit what we want him to do.
Yeah.
We need Boosh to put away.
He's a middle six forward.
30 and have 30 to 40 assists. We need him to be 60 to 70 point player. And he's just, his mental says, I need to play good defense and Robert Thomas give me puck when I'm open.
Yeah.
And then I fumble it. So I'm sick of Boosh, personally. I'm just sick of him, watching him play.
The worst part is this contract.
I'm sure he's a great, funny guy. Sure, he's an awesome human being, but when it comes down to just hockey, can't stand watching him.
Yeah, the accountability right now. And that's what we're going with. Like, yes, he's playing good defensive hockey in a lot of ways.
Is he?
I mean, he's played some solid minutes on the penalty kill in ways where he's... But it's a guy that you're playing him on your top six and you need him to be a dynamic scoring forward, and he's not.
Well, and that's a lot of other people on the team, too. I don't think he needs to be dynamic scoring. He just needs to be better.
He's a passer. He's a passer. That's the other thing. We have our first line is a group of passers.
Well, maybe that's why Jake needs to be back in the lineup, because shoot. Maybe Devo plays wing on that first line.
Maybe.
They tell Snuggy just every time you get it, shoot.
Yeah. But Snuggy also is not great at, he's not speed.
No, he's got an elite shot and a great pass and good vision, but he can't skate like the wind.
No.
So, which is okay, because neither can Bush and Thomas.
I would say Thomas is probably the fastest on that line.
Probably, yeah.
But it also seems like Bucci can't play without Thomas, and Thomas doesn't like to play without Bucci. But you don't But you don't have a true number one scoring forward on this team.
It's Jordan Kyrie, but he's not playing with those guys.
No, and he, like, yeah. Because he doesn't match up well against first-line players. He's a middle six player.
Defensively. Offensively, he can play with anybody. The question, we don't have an answer right now. He needs to be better offensively. He's been whatever defensively, but he needs to just skate harder, forecheck harder, backcheck harder, pass the puck better. I don't know. It just feels like everything's hopping on him and he can't find the net right now. It's puck luck, like Joey Vitale loved to say right now. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's him.
Yeah. All right, we can jump to the next one. Our appreciation for these two guys.
Yeah, Broberg is your best forward by a mile. By miles. Multiple miles. Yeah, and Justin Falk is a top 10 defensive forward right now.
Yeah.
In the league.
Yeah.
So,
Broberg's your number one defenseman right now. Yeah, Broberg's your number one defenseman.
Yes.
And he's playing heavy. Falk's your two. And, yeah, I guess Falk is your
two. Which is crazy.
Crazy. Point wise, he's up there on the team too. That's the other crazy part.
Yeah. He's been producing, yeah.
But also, it's like you need to almost put them back together because, good Lord, because the Fowler Falk has not worked. The Krug Falk is not a thing.
Work.
That needs to not be a thing ever again.
It won't be Krug. You just said Krug?
No, not Krug. The Fowler. Fowler Falk is not working, and the Tucker Falk isn't working, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no.
The issue is we don't have mean defensemen. No one's still clearing the crease. Even Tucker this year doesn't seem to be clearing the crease. And they're early in the season, at least they had some chutzpah behind them, and they grab a guy and put him in a chokehold if he was in the front of the net. It's like
Logan Mayhew.
Yeah, he threw the gloves off before he was even to the group.
I loved it.
It was great, but right now you don't have the piss and vinegar. This is the moral of the story. You have no locker room glue and you have no piss and vinegar. And I would like to say that I don't even think our boy Aussie Walker has that piss and vinegar right now either.
Yeah, I agree. I think Joseph's your guy right now.
Yeah.
For effort and some hits and Shen, obviously. But he does it because he has to. If he doesn't have to, he won't.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, the defense is just, it's the disconnection. We just, before we even started this dang podcast, what we've already said at the beginning, it's the disconnect. It's like half the team is there, half the team's not. And that is where the inconsistency comes into play. Parayko and Fowler need to be better. They need to be your top pair. And they aren't right now. But Broberg is shining, man. He looks so good. What a steal that was. What a steal. He should be your number one defenseman for 10 years. Can't wait till he gets paid. Army better not fumble that one. Steen, I guess, shouldn't fumble that one.
Yeah, he's a Swede. He'll get paid.
Yeah, Steen will get him. All right, and I guess that feeds into, like, when are we going to see some dang consistency across the entirety of the team? Yeah. Holford played great against Buffalo. Your bottom six played great, but your defense was and your top six still aren't scoring. And we still won that game 3-0. Imagine if they were scoring.
Yeah.
Imagine if our defense was a little better. Less shots on net.
Yeah.
Seattle, 2-0 going into the second. You're on your heels in the second. What happened with that? Where's the 60 minutes? Kyrou had a great game. He gave us the 3-2 lead after we blew it. And then we go 6-on-5, and we actually did okay, and we had our chances to shoot it on net. And then we still let them get a shot on net with Eberle just sitting in front of Hofer. Just in front of the net. No one's shoving him out of the way. Yeah. So that's the little things. You know, the little things of not letting your mind wander almost. Like, just be present. Just what do you feel in that moment? Just boom. There's a guy in front of the net. I'm getting him out.
Yeah. But so, it goes back to the mental, where they're so afraid to lose. They're so afraid that any little mistake, it's going to end up in the back of the net. And right now,
they're afraid to lose, but they don't hate it. Yeah. You got to hate to lose.
Got to hate to lose. Just you got to hate to lose more than you like to win.
Exactly. I know Binnington hates to lose. I know he does.
I need
a ton of those guys hate to do it.
Player on this team to just come out and be like, we will never lose again.
We'll never lose again.
We'll never lose again.
That'd be so good. But yeah, you made your point. Nolan. I agree. Yeah, he's doing
he's on Shoresy, man.
Public speaking and stuff.
Yeah, he's doing public speaking. He's awesome. One of the gyms. Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Jim.
That's so good. What a great show. If you haven't seen it, go watch.
Oh, such a good show. All right. Binnington.
All right. Man. I guess we can kind of segue into this.
Yeah.
So, he's going to figure it out, bud.
He's going to figure it out because we can kind of link it to the next one. Because if he does not figure it out, I don't know how you truthfully can pick him to be your Team Canada goalie. I love Binnington.
I agree.
I think he can play. He plays on a whole other level when the game's on the line. But I don't know if you can pick him. And that puts Armstrong in a weird spot. This is my other thing. It really makes me wonder if Armstrong's too preoccupied about trying to figure out Team Canada for the Olympics than figuring out his own NHL team. And if you are that way, then you need to hand it over to Steen now and let Steen cook for the rest of the year.
Is Steen a part of the Swedish general management corps?
Yeah, he's like an advisor.
Oh, okay. Well, he's probably in the same boat then. I mean, Sweden is going to be competitive.
But Doug is the guy.
I know.
Canada. That's why he's stepping away as GM, so he can focus more on Team Canada.
Yeah, but he won't have to for 4 years after this.
Yeah, you'll still have the four nations.
Canada's like almost the easiest team to pick. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It really is. The only like thing is like, am I going to pick Celebrini or Bedard? Just pick both.
Thomas is not on Team Canada, in my opinion.
No, he's not. Neither is Holloway. Neither is Kyrou. Neither is Pareko.
Yeah, I don't know. Pareko may be, he may be on the team, but he might be a scratch.
Yeah, third line D. Yeah. I mean, the other goalie, Skinner's no for Canada or wherever he's from. Montembeau, maybe. Maybe Montembeau gets a shot, but he hasn't been great either this year. It's been Jakub Dobis from the Czech Republic who's leading that team right now. Montreal's a freaking wagon. But yeah, Binnington, I'm more concerned about the Blues with him. He needs to steal some games. I mean, Hofer stole one in Buffalo, and then he played great against Seattle. He kind of got screwed on that call, but it doesn't matter. He's not getting much help. But Benny's got to start stealing some games for us, man. There's a couple where he just wasn't locked in, and it seemed like it kind of screwed us over. And that was him and Hofer for a little bit there.
Daily Faceoff does not have Evan Bouchard or Colton Pareko going. This is what they have as the eight defensemen.
Bouchard isn't going.
No.
Come on, dude.
They have Taves, Cale Makar, Thomas Harley, Mackenzie Weegar, Josh Morrissey, Travis Sanheim, Matthew Schaefer, and Shea Theodore.
I mean, I don't hate that at all. I think Harley deserves it. I think Schaefer deserves it.
Yeah, they have Schaefer and Theodore in, and Bouchard and
Breako out.
Breako out.
And maybe that that'll be the wake up call that the Blues need, is him not taking literally any blue.
And also
then sitting and then taking Benny but sitting him.
So they still everyone still has Binnington in. Binnington is still the number one.
But because they know how he gets.
They have Mackenzie Blackwood.
Wow. Blackwood. I guess he's been, I haven't really.
And then the
Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah.
Wedgwood?
No, Blackwood.
Really? He's only played one game this year.
They have Blackwood and Aiden Hill.
Scott Wedgwood is currently 9-1 this year with a 906 and a 237. Are you sure it's not Wedgwood?
Yeah, I think Wedgwood's American.
No, he's from Ontario.
Yeah, they have Mackenzie Blackwood in.
Really?
As predictions. The other considerations are Logan Thompson, Darcy Kuemper, Sam Montembeault, Cam Talbot, and Jake Allen still.
Dude, I think you bring Logan Thompson.
I think for Logan.
Sure.
And I'm honestly.
Jake Allen.
I think you bring Cam Talbot.
Okay.
I think.
Don't mind that.
Use your third goalie if you need him, or if things start. Or he's your third goalie, but he's the one on the bench every night.
I think Jake Allen would be a better fit for that role.
Yeah.
Because he did it when we won the cup. He was trying his best to like imitate goalie tendencies from the other teams and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, he could do that.
So interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll see about those teams. We'll get some line of predictions for those teams when it gets a little closer. Or some predictions about who's going
to
win or
whatever. Also, shout out Team USA women's team for just taking it to Canada. So
two games in a row, 4-1, 6-1.
Smoked
them. Hillary Knight hat trick, baby.
Yeah, Hillary Knight. Yeah, Hillary, we have messaged you. Come on the podcast. You know, we would love to have you on.
Yeah, we gotta get some more of the ladies on there.
The PWHL players, man, are just class act players, and they're great to talk to because they want this so bad, and they're great individuals.
Yeah. All right, let's
wrap it up with these last two here.
Yeah, we'll try and keep it a little short. The first point I want to say is Monty's not going to get fired, like we said before.
No.
The Blues, the coaching isn't going anywhere, but maybe, just maybe, does Steve Ott need to get talked to? Does Mike Weber need to get talked to? Like, hey, boys, let's change it up a little bit. Like, our power play's awful. What's the setup? What's our game plan on the PP? We're not doing anything. It's too one-dimensional. We got to have more options. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But maybe that's the players' lack of execution.
Drew Bannister as an assistant coach, baby. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We've had that question continuous of like, what can you do? And it's probably not a coaching problem. It's a player problem.
I agree. But I think it's lack of execution.
With talking about players, we do have some that are going to have contracts coming up. And players that are going to have contracts coming up is Dylan Holloway. And right now, I think we both agree it's a bridge deal. I don't think he's getting signed long term.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if it's the same as like Jake Neighbors, like a 2-year, $3.75 million.
Yeah, I'd say maybe a 2x4.5.
2x4.5. 2x5, maybe.
Yeah, just because it's him, and the cap.
And then I think we both have agreed that Philip Broberg. Before the new CBA agreement goes in, you need to lock him up to an 8-year, $9.5 or $10 million deal. If you can get him less than nine, if you can get him an 8x8, like the band, that would be great. But I think you're looking at it 8x9 is probably where you're starting because you're buying out a lot of his time. He's 32 when he becomes a free agent. I think 9.5.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd give him 10.5. I don't even care. Just keep him.
Yeah, but I think the issue is that you need the money to fix so many other issues on this roster.
It'll be there, though. It'll be there.
when we
That's why I would be surprised if you see a Justin Falk move just to open up cap going into the free agent.
Yeah, depending on what's available and if he sees something in a trade or
yeah.
And that just comes down to like when and where and how. You know, there's a lot of clauses in place for a lot of these older players. You know, a lot of people want Shen gone, and I mean, it makes sense because everyone would love a Braden Shen. You know, and like,
and he's gonna get you a ransom of a return at the deadline because we saw what Scott Laughton got for Philadelphia.
Geez. I know. So, I think it'd be more than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just depends on where the Blues are at. I mean, right now you're still only 4 points out. You have your 2 days off, and then you play the worst team in the league. You have to get two, and then you have two more days off, and then you play Philly. You have to get two, even though they're hot, like they're a better team. You have to get two,
and
then it's a back to back, and you have to get two more. Like,
here's the other thing:
you can't lose these next three games. You just can't.
Oh no, you can't. Because if you do, you're screwed.
You just keep putting yourself in that hole. Just keep trying to dig out of it, and it's just not gonna help at all.
Yeah.
It's not.
If we think it's Braden Shen to Florida, you got to get players back in return.
Oh,
because
man.
they don't have first round picks the next two years.
Yeah, they're in win now mode, right?
Yeah. So I'm not talking unless you're offering Anton Lundell or Evan Rodriguez, or if we do. Lustarinen, and I don't even know. There's not much that I really want.
So Shen can play like third line center or whatever. It just depends on Barkey. Barkey's
not going to be back.
I don't know. Is he?
No, he's not back.
Okay. All right.
Carter,
I mean, it would probably be smart for them not to bring him back just so they have the money. So. Yeah, Shen would be an interesting one. Falk or Mackenzie Weegar or Anderson would be interesting for them. I can't wait to see Florida sneak in and beat everybody again. Yeah, Shen, Falk, I think he gets you a pretty decent amount too, just because he's just solid, man. Solid.
Yeah.
Nothing bad to say about him right now. I don't know what everybody's seeing or that they hate about him.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't know.
He has, when he has flaws, they're pretty blatant, and I think that's where people hone in.
Understandable, yeah, for sure.
But that's his whole team. So, a lot needs to happen this next week.
Gotta win every game.
If they lose any of these games, it's going to be very hard to see Doug not doing something.
Yeah. I'm not like, you have to win in regulation or OT. You just have to win these next three games, and if that helps, then you just keep sitting and waiting. You gotta let the team figure it out, in my opinion. But yeah, after Christmas, New Year's, like before the Olympics, if we are stinky poo poo, someone's gone or someone's not gone, and we're just gonna keep doing what we're doing and losing. Like, you never know; it might just be a wait out thing.
Yeah, because at that point, I think there's about five players that could help change the trajectory of your team in this draft. But that requires you to be in that top five group. Number one is Gavin McKenna, and he fixes our issue. Because the first line of Gavin McKenna, Thomas, and Snuggy is... Whoa.
Yeah, that's a real elite line for sure.
And then I even think Stenberg's brother would also change that. He statistically has better numbers than what Lucas Raymond did at every point so far.
Huge. And Lucas Raymond's awesome.
And then there's a defenseman out of North Dakota that would really help you too on the back end. He's a right-handed shot, I'm pretty sure too. So there's options. There's options.
It just depends on if Doug's ready to do that, man. He's just never been.
If you did that though, it's like you're doing like what the Capitals did, and it's like you suck for 1 year and then we fix it in 1 year.
Yeah, but though they that was truly one of the best retool on the fly retools I've ever witnessed in my entire life. They brought in some of the like most underrated players that just weren't gelling, and they're gel now.
Yeah, because the other thing, I think Stenberg's a year or two away still, and I think Carbonneau's here next year.
Should be here next year. Sorry.
But all right, as always, thank you for listening. Like, share, follow. Thank you for Across the Board. Thank you for helping us get over 250 on Instagram. We are growing followers.
Almost 500 on TikTok, hovering around 200 on Twitter. Yeah. And so, shout out to you guys. Sharing and all that stuff and showing some love, and we'll show it right back. We do appreciate you guys.
Yep. And as always, Mikey.
Let's go Blues, let's go Blues, man. We got to figure this out.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them, so please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board.